Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you today to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. I thank you for taking time in your holiday schedule to spend these few moments together with me. With the Lord's help, we're going to talk about, as it is a season for giving gifts, the greatest gift of all, God's greatest gift to us, and that is His Son, Jesus. Isaiah 9 and 6 declared, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." Let's pray. Our Father, our God, You who are the author and giver of every good and precious gift, to You we give thanks for Your unspeakable gift to us, Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Savior. Today, Lord, we give ourselves and all that we are in grateful worship to You. Bless the gift of our lives, our hearts, our surrender, our love, to the honor and the glory of Your name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, in the busyness of the Christmas season, God's greatest gift to people is often overlooked. Today, we want to take a little bit of time to focus our attention on that gift that was foretold by the prophets, God's only begotten Son. As Isaiah declared, "Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." And it's the tragedy of all tragedies that so few people have properly related themselves to the Christ who was born in Bethlehem so many years ago. The wise men came requesting, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews?" And so it's fitting to ask those questions. Who is He? What do you think of the Christ? Is He merely a mythical or legendary figure? Is He simply a notable figure on the pages of history? His birthday, even though it's most likely He wasn't born on December 25th, nonetheless, it gave the world a new era, dividing the past from the future at a focal point. His majesty has given the world its most immortal paintings. His love has inspired the world's masterpieces of art and sculpture and music, and His influence has inspired Earth's greatest philanthropies. More books have been written about Him than have been written about all the kings who have ruled from earthly thrones. So who is this Son whom God has given? Well, to begin with, He is certainly supernatural. He was supernaturally conceived and born of the Virgin Mary. He was, by very essence, God, but also He was totally a man. He took on human flesh. His Father was Almighty God, His own Father, but He was born and conceived of a virgin. Now, Christianity is built and based on a supernatural Christ. You know, when you think about it, you can have Buddhism without Buddha, Confucianism without Confucius, Mohammedism without Muhammad, but this is not so with Christianity. Christianity is just more than a creed or a code. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Christianity is not a religion, it's a fellowship with the risen and living Christ. Those who reject the virgin birth and explain away Christ's miracles and deny his resurrection have only a pale, powerless, poor, anemic human Christ who has no power with which to save a sinful race. So he's supernatural, and he's also sinless. The Word of God tells us that. Christ was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin, Hebrews 4 and 15. He refrained from all willful transgression. He was the very essence of personal purity. And even Pilate, the Roman governor, in Luke 23, 14, this was his verdict. He said, "I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him." And at the time of Jesus' baptism, there was a voice of testimony from heaven expressing the divine approval of Christ. Remember, the heavens opened and there was a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And also there was a second expression of divine approval at the time of the transfiguration on the mount. In Matthew 17 and 5, the word tells us, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.'" And so the resurrection of Christ, if you will, was a public demonstration of the divine acceptance of his substitutionary death on the cross. So he was supernatural, he was sinless, and he was the perfect Lamb of God who suffered as our substitute to fulfill the divine justice of God. The prophet Isaiah foretold the substitutionary death of the suffering servant of God in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verses 4 through 6. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And then in Matthew 1:21, the angel told Joseph that the unborn child of Mary was divine, and that he would be the Savior of his people. And when John the Baptist introduced Jesus to his disciples, he called him the one who would bear the sins of the world. "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." And Jesus, in Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 45, he defined his objective for coming into the world in terms of giving his life as a ransom for many. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto," Jesus said, "but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And then in John 10:11, Jesus describes himself as a good shepherd who lays down his life voluntarily for his sheep. Verse 11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And then in Romans 5 and 6, Paul declared that while we were still rebels, and we were sinners against God, God loved us and gave us his Son to die for us. The sinless one, Jesus, by divine decree, was made to be sin for us, that in his amazing willingness to take our place, he suffered to pay our debt, saving us from the penalty of sin. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who was rich beyond imagination became a pauper, that we, through his poverty, might be made indescribably rich." That's 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Praise God. And then God's greatest gift, which is his sinless Son, Jesus, he suffered for us sinners that he might return us to God, he might restore us to relationship with God. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being quickened by the Spirit." Praise God. This is what God did for us. This is what Jesus was willing to do. So God has given us a perfect gift, an all-sufficient Savior. He takes care of the past by the pardon of every sin and the forgiveness of every transgression. And he takes care of your present right now by his abiding presence. He's the mind of God speaking out to man, the voice of God calling out to man, the heart of God loving man, the hand of God reaching out and helping man. And he is the Savior who can meet the deepest needs of our soul. He also provides for our future by providing at the end of our journey a blessed home of fellowship with him. Beloved, have you received this royal guest into your heart today? If you haven't, it's time to let him in. Don't ignore him or shut him out. Accept God's greatest gift by receiving his Son as the Savior of your life. And if you have received him as Savior, are you willing to make him Lord? Are you willing to let him be Lord of every area of your life? If you're willing to do that, beloved, you will find the greatest soul satisfaction that is possible for the heart of man to know. I pray that your Christmas, this entire season, is warmed by his presence and that he will do a new thing in your life. As you open your heart to him, will you find that he is the deepest desire of your heart being fulfilled? I love you and I thank God for you, and I wish whatever you may be doing this Christmas holiday that you would be blessed and protected, and that you, as you seek the Lord, will and delight yourself in him, that he will give you the very desires of your heart. I thank you so much for your fellowship, for your partnership, my UCM family, and for those of you who are listening, I pray for you every day. I thank God for you and wish you a blessed Christmas season. I love you, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,